You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
The spirit of the movie, the voice of the movie is still very much grounded in that kind of like super stupid wordplay and sight gags and slapstick. And you know, when that stuff is done right, nothing is funnier. The Naked Gun is stupid. I say this with all my heart and every sense of the word. The 2025 update of the classic police movie spoofs starring Leslie Nielsen is idiotic, asinine, and downright preposterous. But it had me grinning ear to ear. The Naked Gun is a parade of slapstick, sight gags, and more deadpan wordplay than an infinite number of dads responding to an infinite number of group texts could ever conjure. It subjects the Oscar-nominated star of Schindler's List to a battery of humiliations that include, but are not limited to, extended scenes of intestinal distress, visual sexual innuendo, interactions with multiple intentionally janky-looking puppets. I liked all 85 minutes of it, and I can't wait to see it again, just to pick up any of the punchlines I laughed over or funny little signs I overlooked. Stupid was the name of the game when Nielsen played boneheaded cop Frank Drebin in 6 episodes of the brilliant yet canceled Police Squad and its 3 big screen spinoffs. And it remains so with Liam Neeson in the role of boneheaded cop Frank Drebin Jr. The fearless foolishness of the new Naked Gun begins with casting Neeson because his name kind of sort of sounds like Nielsen's and doesn't let up until the last fake pun-laden credits roll. But as proven by every sweaty genre parody that popped up in Scary Movie's wake, it takes genuine wit, talent, and inspiration to make a good movie out of something this dumb. Frank Jr. may be standing on the just-out-of-frame shoulders of spoof giants David Zucker, his brother Jerry, and their longtime collaborator Jim Abrahams, but he's been hoisted up there by a guy who knows a good idea when he sees one, the Lonely Island's Akiva Schaffer. Schaffer's primary upgrade to the Naked Gun formula is an added visual panache, as opposed to the flat, overlit TV-like compositions preferred by Abrahams and the Zuckers. As camera swirls and swoops around Neeson, co-stars Paul Walter Hauser and Pamela Anderson, taking the filmmaking so seriously only serves to underline the glorious absurdities unfolding within the frame. At one point, Neeson is locked in a frenetic punch-up that wouldn't look out of place in a sequel, until he pulls his adversary's arms off and starts swinging them like flesh and bone nunchucks. The gravitas that carried Neeson through both the acclaimed star of prestigious period pictures and aging action movie badass phases of his career is trickier to wield. He's fully committed to playing Frank's obliviousness and delusions of heroism, never giving way to the shameless cross-eyed mugging Nielsen was frequently guilty of. He expertly modulates into a higher register to, say, rant about DVR etiquette, or woos through a chili dog-induced bathroom emergency. But when he's in beatdown mode, the goofus-turned-gallant contrast isn't quite there. It's almost like we need a gag as outrageous as the detachable arms or the stream of bad guys queuing up behind a take a number that follows it to remind us that this is indeed a comedy, not exactly what you want from a franchise renowned for playing its funny business with the straightest face possible. Fortunately, the vintage zazz spirit translates more cleanly in other areas. The thing is absolutely packed with jokes, none of all which call attention to themselves. Several phony corporate logos and silly slogans linger in the foreground and background. My favorite is the Crypto.com Arena ripping name of the setting for a climatic MMA bout. I won't reveal that here, I'll just let you be able to laugh at it in the theater. Frank is constantly being handed coffee cups from off-screen, with Schaffer and the props department making a meal of the cup's size, where they're deposited, and how they're delivered. If a certain timelessness appears to be creeping into the humor via Danny Houston's tech mogul villain Richard Kane, in the way—
This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for MIDI. MIDI's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At MIDI, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve. Because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized, insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. MIDI, the care women deserve.
His evil scheme subtly raises the Hollywood reboot fever that made this Naked Gun possible. Just remember that the second movie in the franchise pinned some of its laughs to the not-so-evergreen foibles of Zsa Gabor and Walter Mondale. More worrisome are references to the 2004 Super Bowl and the lineup of the Black Eyed Peas that, for all their non-sequitur specificity, feel like they're left over from drafts of earlier circa 2010s attempts to bring Draven out of cold storage. Between Kane, Nicholas Holt's rendition of Lex Luthor and Superman, and Jemaine Clement's Megan 2.0 character, I think we're reaching a saturation point for cinematic bad guys who are mock Musks and bogus Bezos. Not that those guys don't deserve to be portrayed like villains, they're just becoming a stale stock type. Still, it's hard to get too mad about a movie whose big apocalyptic plot hinges on a gizmo identified on screen as the plot device. The Naked Gun's hit-to-miss ratio is highly weighted towards the hits, and there's a great variety to them too. But those are balanced with a couple of segments where Schaefer lets his freak flag fly at length, while Hauser is largely stuck playing straight man to Frank's nonsense, keeping him from the sort of lunacy that allowed his mole man to steal swaths of Fantastic Four right from under them. Pamela Anderson gets a couple of spotlight moments to go hilariously ham. The path to her full-fledged post-The Last Showgirl comeback runs through some on-point comedic scatting in The Naked Gun. For these and other reasons, I haven't even gotten to the fun the script has with Frank's hard-boiled voiceover narration. It's tempting to overrate The Naked Gun for merely existing, for being itself, or to paraphrase the musician who's now appeared in all four Naked Gun movies, daring to be stupid. There's nothing truly new about a new release that's built on the bones of a comedy that came out in 1988, but the lack of a major studio comedy of this caliber in theaters in 2025 deepens the impression The Naked Gun leaves. It, like its predecessors and previous Schaefer efforts like Popstar, Never Stop Stopping, will thrive in living rooms and on laptops where you'll be able to pause and screenshot every last joke. But I can't overstate how good it felt to laugh at those jokes in a dark room full of friends and strangers, where Liam Neeson's naked butt, or that of a body double, was spread wide across a giant screen. It's a sad comment on the current state of movies, but there actually is some novelty for that experience. The Naked Gun may not be a groundbreaking comedy classic, but in its own silly way, it does feel important. It shows that something this much of a lark can still be made with craft and care and maximum entertainment value. I hope we get to see more Naked Gun guns and more movies like them. I hope they're not sentenced to streaming purgatory because to stop making broad, unbashed comedies of this stripe, or to keep them from coming to a theater near you, now that would be stupid. The Naked Gun is unlikely to overshadow the cop movie spoof that inspired it or its two sequels. Liam Neeson tries his damnedest, but is slightly too steely as the moronic Lieutenant Frank Drebin Jr. And most of the big laughs are just modern-day variations on jokes first told in the 80s, if not earlier. But just because there's a bit of must on them doesn't mean that they're not funny. And considering the relatively deserted theatrical comedy landscape of 2025, Akiva Schaefer's faithful, unapologetically dumb police squad update plays like a big, refreshing gulp from the seltzer bottle, with more jokes that you can possibly catch in a single viewing. The Naked Gun proudly brings cinematic groaners and outrageous sight gags into the 2020s. So if you've seen this movie, yet, let me know your thoughts on it. And if you haven't, let me know if you're going to watch it in theaters or wait for it to hit Blu-ray or streaming, whichever one. And of course, before we do move on, be sure to hit that thumbs up button, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold or scan the QR code that you see on the screen. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.